Our scripture lesson today comes from Mark chapter 1. Starting in the 29th verse, finishing up in the 38th. Mark chapter 1. And while you're looking for that, it escaped me because there was a lot going on this morning. But last Sunday, some good friends of mine have come here to church before, out there in the road, James and their daughter Jessica and her boyfriend Hunter, caught me yesterday morning and said, "Hey, we need to talk to you after church." At least they do. Well, I knew what that was about. And in October, the second Saturday in October, am I right? Is that right? Jessica and Hunter will be married. And I get to do the service at the fish barn. That's the fish barn, right? That's the fish barn. And that's really cool, and I'm really happy about that. And so we want to keep them congratulated as we go forward. Mark chapter 1, that ought to be an easy one to find. You got it on your phone yet there, Israel? That's why we use the book instead of technology. This is technology. Mark chapter 1, verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her by the hand, helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, but Jesus helped many who had various diseases. He also drove out demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we seek you in this, let us be reminded that the Word opens at different times on different levels, but it contains the same meaning. Let the words that were given to me today from you make sense. Talk to us, speak to us, lift us up, strengthen us, and prepare us for what waits just outside those doors. Let us dwell on it. Let us return to it. Let us glean from it and grow from it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. Amen. Now, I have spoken on many times, and today is not going to be any different, on shoes. What shoes, particularly men, should wear. You should have four pairs of shoes in any particular order. You should have a nice pair of work boots. You should have a nice pair of Sunday boots. Notice I didn't say shoes. Sunday boots, work boots. You can have a set of sneakers if you must. And you may have a set of bedroom slippers. That's all men need. They're not sandals. And not slippers that you wear with socks out into public. Now, women can do whatever they want, as obvious by our house. Don't ever, ever, ever pick on me about how many tractors I've got until we go through a certain woman's shoe collection, which numbers, I don't know, 2.5 million. I don't know where, every time I look, when did you buy them? Oh, I've had these old things. I watched a guy, this is the truth now, I watched a guy walk into the store this week where I was. And my man had on pajama pants, and he had on T-shirt that says, I don't need to worry, I don't work. And he was wearing flip-flops. And I looked up, I said, please, Lord, seal my mouth, please, Lord. And I did what I did. I bought my big coffee and my candy bars. And I didn't buy no candy bars. That's right, I'm not allowed to have them anymore. That's why I'm not a happy man these days. You know what would fix my unhappiness is I can't have sugar, bread, potato, starch, peas, corn, and a whole host of other things. You know what would fix my happiness? Another tractor. And this guy goes in and he pays for it, and I'm standing behind him. And as he walked out the door, he stepped off the curb. And when he stepped off the curb, he turned around and he stubbed his open toes on the curb. And he produced a string of language that all I could do was stand there and go, see? 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 Now, what is the most painful thing that your feet can endure? And I know that a fair number of you, myself included, went barefooted all summer long. Your feet were like shoe leather back in them days. You didn't wear no shoes. I didn't wear shoes until I went to the barn. And only then I wore a pair of boots, rubber boots to be exact. And your feet got tough. And now you've gotten older and you don't go barefooted all summer long anymore. And your feet get a little soft. What is the most excruciating pain that you can feel on your feet?
Blisters.
Oh, worse than that.
Step on a Lego.
I don't even want to talk about stepping on Legos. That's a whole sermon in and of to itself. What?
Stepping on a rock.
Who said that?
Jimmy.
You're getting close.
Stepping on cold.
How many people in this room have ever had a stone in their shoe the size of a grain of sand? Oh, look at his hand. Oh, everybody's going, yeah. Felt like you had a hole. The Rock of Gibraltar was stuck in there, didn't it? I just cannot get comfortable with these things. There is a rock so big in here, and it hurts to walk. And we're dumb because we keep walking with it for a while. I don't know. Do we like to complain? Do we walk around with it stuck in there? And then suddenly, we come to that moment where, good golly, I got a whole quarry inside my shoe. I got to get that thing. And you turn your shoe up on end, and one little grain comes out and goes, boink. And you look at that and you say, man, I hope nobody else saw that. All that whining I did. That's painful. That makes it hard to walk. Because we have to do a lot of walking. And walking is not fun all the time. It's truly miserable. Then there's the real pain of walking. I don't know what happened. And I don't want to talk about it much. And I don't want to dwell on it much. But I reckon I have to. My knees are losing cartilage right here. Both of them are almost bone on bone. They're within vactometers of each other from touching. And it is pain constant. I will not get the surgery yet because I believe in what I had done with the stem cell treatments that will grow that cartilage again. But I went from just wide open to 3 years ago, it hurts to stand. It hurts me to walk. It hurts me to go up and down steps. It hurts me to do any of the things I love to do so much. It hurts me that I have to sit on this stool sometimes. And how much does it hurt me? Well, I'm going to tell you. In those quiet moments when you all are not at home with me and the pain hits the right way, my religion gets tested. It's bad. It's a little better. And one of the problems I had was the fact that I would get a cup of coffee in the morning with 14 tablespoons of sugar and half a cow of cream and round that out with a nice candy bar and a donut and a muffin and an egg sandwich and sausage on the side and a glass of cold milk. That was my primer. And I don't do that anymore, and I'm down in weight, and that's good. Do not cheer for that because I got this way because I'm stupid. I'm fixing that problem. But there are others that have to walk with walkers, canes, wheelchairs. I don't count my pain that great. But those are the physical things. That's what we can put our hands on. That's what's tangible about when it hurts to walk. I'm tired, my feet hurt, my knees hurt, my hips hurt, and it's hard. But there are those who walk with a pain that most of us in this room have never experienced. There's no hiding the name Harriet Tubman. None. Everybody in this room, save for Hunter and... What is his?
Reno.
What did you say?
Reno.
Bruno?
Reno.
Reno. I'm as deaf as a post, too. Save for those two, there's not a person in this room that does not know the name Harriet Tubman. And we all know what she did. What did she do? Born in Maryland, freed slaves, right? We all know the story. That as a young child, she got hit in the head with a weight for a scale that was destined for the man standing behind her. And it hit her so hard that it cracked her skull. And that what she had in her skull, I don't know what they call it, but it caused her to suffer hypersomnia, dysplasia, I think is the other one, that went clean up until she died. She was never without that pain. Nowadays, they would call it temporal lobe epilepsy. Harriet Tubman didn't want to be a slave. Wasn't no way for her to get out. But because she was damaged goods, she was sold cheap. Sold! Cheap. And one day she seized an opportunity. And she got away. Now for most people, that would be good. I got out of those chains. I got out of that bondage. I got out and away from it. I got away from that stain that, quite frankly, bothers me to this day about this country. Don't you ever think for one moment, although I love our somewhat southern heritage, the stain of slavery hurts. And she did what anybody else could have done. She could have taken the easy walk. Instead, she chose the one that hurts. In 1850 of December, she was warned that her niece Kasiah and her two children were to be sold in Cambridge, Maryland. Understand, this all took place here. They were to be sold in Cambridge, Maryland. And she went down there. Now, Kasiah's husband was a free man, John. And John figured out a way during the sale to buy Kasiah. And while the sale was going on, Harriet grabbed the kids and took off. And they jumped in a canoe. And they escaped. And that became the basis for the Underground Railroad. Over 11 years until slavery ended with the stroke of a pen by a man who said that when he tried to sign that document three times that day, that his pen wouldn't work, his arm wouldn't form, his hands would not let him hold the pen. And when asked by someone why, he said, "My heart grieves to the point of my soul that when this pen signs this document, it will forever bear my name and my soul, and everything I will have done before and after will be gone. I will simply be known as the Emancipator." And at 9 o'clock on that morning, he signed it. Abraham Lincoln. Over the next 11 years, Harriet Tubman made repeated trips to the eastern shore of Maryland. In pain to walk physically, but it hurt to walk so much more. Constantly under threat of being killed, constantly under threat of a bounty on her head that reached as much as $40,000 to $50,000 in those days. She took 70 slaves out in 13 expeditions. She also provided instructions for at least 100 more. All this while barely able to walk in constant pain. I return to this calendar that Bob and Pat Myers gave me so many years ago. I usually come in on Sunday morning and flip it to whatever day it is and read it. Well, this time, It was open the last Sunday, and I don't know why I didn't read it, but I did this morning while I was preparing. It hurts to walk, and guess who's on number 10? Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman died on this day, March 10th, in 1913. This daring ex-slave repeatedly risked her life on journeys into slaveholding states. A gifted speaker, she became a regular abolitionist and always transfixed her audiences with her wit and eloquence. I'm going to read it the way it was wrote. She says, "I always told God, quote, 'I'm going to hold steady on to you. And you got me true. Just so long as he wants to use me, he'll take care of me. And when he don't want me any longer, I'm ready to go.'" Harriet Tubman died in 1913. Her seizures had gotten worse. They tried to do brain surgery at Boston Mass. She said, in her words, "That doc sawed open my skull and raised it up, and now I can sleep at night." I cannot wait to meet this woman. She didn't get no anesthesia. She had to bite down on a bullet. She built a home for black people in America in concert with the Methodist Church. And when she died, as she was passing, she told those in the room, quote, "I go to prepare a place for you." Did you know that when she died, she was buried at Fort Hill Cemetery in Auburn with military honors? How much did it hurt to walk? She walked with a vision, and I am sure how much it hurt, not just her physical body, but herself, to get out there and do that vision. How many times are we called as Christians to step out and get going regardless of the pain? I'll tell you how many times. Every moment of every day. But there's two stories that researching this sermon, when it came into my head, and it really had nothing to do with my knees. Those are just an adder. There's another one about a kid named Jimmy, born in the 1930s in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Jimmy was a smart kid. He was full of wonder. He loved getting running around. He'd go and do things. And Jimmy wanted to fly airplanes. And so he did. And he learned how to fly airplanes. And then he moved into flying jets. And Jimmy was raised Christian. Very much so. But at some point, around age 10 or 11, he turned away from God and decided that his life was much better served following his own purpose. I know that feeling. He had a marriage that lasted 2 years, which he claimed the fault of because he was cruel and intolerable to be around, and he was mean to her. In 1959, he remarried and stayed married until his death. In 1961, while teaching a student pilot how to fly jets that were the precursor to the SR-71 Blackbird, the student crashed the airplane. Jimmy was not killed. He suffered compound fractures, amnesia, nearly lost a leg, pretty near broke every bone. John Forrest, a U.S. Air Force orthopedic surgeon, saved his leg. In 1961, Jimmy had to learn how to walk all over again. Had to learn how to tie his shoes. Had to learn all of this stuff. Do you think that turned him back to God? Nope. Made him bitter. He still felt that pull. He made this statement, "I felt the power of God as I had never felt it before." He made that statement after August 1st, 1971, when Jimmy, who could barely walk, had gone through all of that pain. And August 1st, 1971, stood on the surface of the moon and planted
the American flag. Yeah, Commander James Irwin, a pilot, a space astronaut, and one of 12, think about that number for a moment, one of 12 people who have stood on the surface of the moon. In standing there, he said, I had never felt the power of God more than right there. The insignificance of myself, came back and wrote a book more than earthlings, and rededicated himself to Jesus Christ and became one of the most powerful speakers to come from that era, the astronaut who spoke openly of Jesus. And yet, we complain when we have a pebble in our boot. In 5 weeks, we'll look at a culmination of 3 years again, as we do every year. In 5 weeks, we'll relive a murder. A murder that everybody in this room took place in. Maybe not that day. And a debt that was paid. When I picked out this scripture, it took a while to find it. I wanted to show you the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's tons of books out there that are written on the complex nature of Jesus Christ for everything he's ever done. And we get into that and we love it and we look at that. But then we forget about the simplistic nature of what Jesus did. And in this passage, open it back up. In this passage, it shows the beginning of his painful walk. Painful. And I don't mean physical. In other Gospels, Mark 1 would be part of the other Gospels that would lead you as he came down off the mount. By Matthew chapter 8, he had finished preaching this great sermon. For those of you that come to men's Bible study, you know we're just about at the end of that. And then we're going to talk about some other things. But Mark lays it out simple. He starts it off by saying, as soon as they left the synagogue, Jesus came down off the mount, began to teach, walked in the synagogue, offered himself back up to his Father. And Mark writes the words, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew, and immediately Jesus goes to work. These passages are given to us with not a lot of fanfare. Everybody has their own favorite part in the Bible. Some people love the whole story of David. Some people love the story of Paul. Some people love this story. Some people love the story of Elijah or Elisha, or the story of Paul and Silas in the jail cell, or the story of Luke, or any. There's so many. We need to remind ourselves that the simplicity of Jesus Christ was that he saw the vision, understood the will, and walked toward it, regardless of the pain that was coming. How do we know that? We know that by reading this scripture and listening to it. In verse 32, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. Mark is writing there because people are seeing something they've never seen before. And it's not something that they completely understand. They just know that this prophet, this great man, has this magical power that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of these magicians of the realm at that time cannot do. The Bible, Mark, the gospel writer, even makes it clear that Jesus, now this is where we gloss over. It says right there in verse 34, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but would not let them speak because they knew who he was. Perhaps you're not hearing it correctly. He, Jesus Christ, sealed the demons and didn't let them speak. That's the power of my Jesus Christ. We continue on very early in the morning while it was still dark. Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. When they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you."
Can you imagine in your own feeble mind trying to dwell right now in the will of God for Jesus Christ? Our feeble minds trying to encompass the walk that is about to hurt Jesus over the next 3 years. Because he knew exactly where each and every footstep led him. He knew this was coming. How many people, if they knew that that was coming, would want to get out of bed tomorrow morning? Right? Yesterday, we put up a shelf in the house, and the boys did most of the work. And I stupidvised. And we had to drive a few things with a hammer. And as they are learning their way, I held the lag screws that we were driving with my own hand and said, "Hit it." And they said, "We're afraid to hit you, Daddy." I said, "Well, I'm not afraid of that. I've done that many times to my own self." And when I said that, my thought process crossed over into how much that hurts to think about what that was. No. If I knew what was coming tomorrow, nope. Ain't getting out of bed. Don't care what you tried to do. I ain't doing it. But Jesus did. Knowing that it hurts to walk. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else." I love that. Because he knows. He's about it. He's seeing it. He understands it. He realizes that these people around him that are seeing him right now because of what he's giving them and not because of who he is. And yet he still walks to the nearby villages so I can preach there. And if your Bible is your own, underline it. This is why I have come. That starts the Easter run-up. That line, to me, this is why I have come. It hurts to walk. This is why I have come. I have come today to die for you. To teach you about the good news of heaven. To show you what I'm about. To let you know what there is beyond this. To give you my offering, to give you my bread of life, to give you the cup from which you will drink, and you will never run thirsty. That's why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Jesus saw the vision. Jesus knew the vision. Jesus had helped craft the vision. I've talked about it a dozen times. Can you imagine having your child sitting next to you, watching what's going on down below, and the father with troubled look, knowing that what he wanted to be can only be paid with one way? And his son turns to him and says, "I'll go." And stepped out of heaven. Out of everything safe and right. And went to a world of pain and hate. And for the next 5 weeks, we will walk with Jesus Christ. I promise you that. As we go to Golgotha together. As a constant, vigilant reminder of how much it hurt him to walk. Knowing God's vision, knowing God's will. Henrietta Mears, in the book Dream Big, the Henrietta Mears story, said these words. What is will? Will is the whole man active. I cannot give up my will. I must exercise it. I must will to obey when God gives a command or a vision of truth. It is never a question of what He will do, but what we will do. To be successful in God's work is to fall in line with His will and to do His way. All that is pleasing to Him is a success. This is what a Christian life is. Believe you me, it's hard when we accept Him. Sorry. I'm not even allowed to have candy bars anymore. Can you imagine what it must be like? Especially Snickers bars. Good golly. We have to do what He says regardless of what it's going to do to us. We have to do it. We have to follow. If it hurts to walk, walk on. Because Jesus Christ did it for us. And how many times have we read all through this scripture? How many more times has He loved us than we love our fellow man? And how many more times must we do that which hurts us sometimes in order that we might put forth the kingdom of God? Every time. When we accept Jesus Christ, we accept the vision. The vision that nobody should ever not know Jesus Christ. That nobody should ever not know the eternal life. That nobody should ever not know that this world of pain does not continue on for those who have accepted and believe in Him. That nobody walks this world, this path alone. And God's will. When we accept what Jesus Christ did and how He paid for us with His own blood, we accept the will of what God has for us. Yes, it hurts to walk. Sometimes we look at where we're at and the things that are happening to us. Sometimes I can't take it. Sometimes I find myself asking Him, why are you doing this to me? Why are you hurting me like this? Why don't you just heal them? He doesn't answer. Oh, I know what the answer is. Keep moving. Think about my son. And then I do. And then I get reminded. Brothers and sisters, I have no great pie in the sky for you if you think that this is going to be easy to clean up until it does. In his book, Facing Loneliness, J. Oswald Sanders wrote, "The round of pleasure or the amassing of wealth but are vain attempts to escape from the persistent ache. The millionaire is usually a lonely man, and the comedian is often more unhappy than the audience." He emphasizes that success often fails to produce satisfaction. What he's saying is, if we got everything our way, we'd never know Jesus Christ. He used Henry Martin, who was a distinguished scholar, as an example. Martin was a Cambridge University student, honored at 20 years old for achievements in mathematics. I can barely add 2 and 2 and come up with cat. In fact, he was given the highest recognition possible, yet he was empty inside. He said that instead of finding fulfillment, he grasped at a shadow. After evaluating his life's goals, he found Jesus and sailed to India as a missionary at the age of 24. When he arrived, he prayed, "Lord, let me burn out for you." In the next 7 years, before he died, he translated the New Testament into 3 difficult Eastern languages. It hurt him to walk, and yet he did it anyway. I want us to start thinking right now about the next 5 weeks. I'm not into Lent. I'm not into giving up stuff. That's not a brethren way. Quite frankly, I don't think it's a Christian way. What I'm into for the next 5 weeks is reminding ourselves what's coming. If we as Christians forget the pain that Jesus Christ had to walk here, we need to circle back and read it again. We need to remind ourselves daily that what He hurt turned into our joy. And as we stand just outside of this moment, we remind ourselves daily of the Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Son of the Father, the one that stepped from heaven and died to save us. Yes, it hurts to walk. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would just remind us that we never become complacent. We don't take this for granted. We don't look to the side as, yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm a Christian, well, I'm a Christian, oh yeah, I'm a Christian because of the death of Jesus Christ. And my life is now given to Him forevermore, and I will live as He bids me do. I will go where He bids me go. I will be who He bids me be. And I will thank Him every day for the things that I have had taken away that remind me of what is yet to come. Father, hear us as we cry out to You. Feel us as we are in pain, and strengthen us to endure. And walk with us as the walk hurts. In Jesus' name, we give ourselves over to You. Amen.